Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Her name is Marie D. Jones, and thanks to Linda Godfrey, I was able to check out her site, and I guess she's out in, where is it, Oregon? Is that where you're from?
Oh, I'm in San Diego, California.
Oh, you're in California.
Yeah, Southern California.
How do you like it out there, Marie?
It's nice. It's warm and sunny today, as always.
Not worried about the falling in the ocean there, California, or anything like
that? No, we're pretty
2012, not going to knock it in the ocean there or anything like that?
No, I'm not worried.
Okay, see, the reason I also checked out Marie's site is that she has a book called 2013, The End of Days, or A New Beginning. There seems to be a lot of now speculation. The movie comes out. And first of all, let me welcome you to my program out there. How are you doing, Marie?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
If you don't mind giving me a little background, obviously, are you from that area?
No, I'm actually from the Northeast. I was born in Connecticut, grew up in New York in Rockland County, and then came to San Diego. I've lived in L.A. for 15 years, kind of been all around.
All over the place, and
yeah.
You have been written how many different books?
Well, I have 7 nonfiction books. I've written over 50, co-authored, I should say, over 50 inspirational books. I've written probably thousands of articles and essays and short stories. I've been publishing since I was a kid.
Wow.
So I kind of knew what I wanted to do from pretty early on.
That's pretty amazing. And what is your most recent book? Is it 2000?
The last book that came out I wrote with my co-author, Larry Flaxman. It's called The Resonance Key. Exploring the links between vibration, consciousness, and the zero-point grid. And that came out, I think, about a month and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about that, too.
Yeah. I forget when they come out. They just sort of roll out like an assembly line.
So do you make a living then pretty much doing this? Is this all you do?
I do.
Well, that's
awesome.
I've
been doing full-time writing for quite a while.
So if somebody's listening that wants to do this, what advice would you give them?
Work your butt off. You know, you can't give up, too. I've got friends that are writers, and they give up after a few years and a few thousand rejections.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that. You got to keep pushing.
Can you do a lot
of... no such thing as overnight success.
Can you succeed as a self-publisher?
Well, that's really hard. I don't. If you have the money and the time and the context to promote yourself and market your book, you can, but it's very difficult.
Mm.
And a lot of bookstores, they just frown upon self-published books. But it can be done. I'm not going to say it's impossible.
So these things you write about, obviously you have a passion for these things? Or what draws you to write about, like 2013, The End of Days or A New Beginning?
Well, I've always been interested in unknown anomalies, mythology, folklore, the paranormal, cutting-edge science discovery. With 2013, I had been approached by so many people who wanted to know what is up with this 2012 thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there really wasn't a book that covered every theory or prophecy or prediction. And so I thought, well, I'll put one together. And I really looked at every single theory that I could find, put it into one book, but also presented some of the more realistic challenges that we're going to be facing as we come up upon the next few years. And I also have essays from a variety of very well-known cutting-edge thinkers of our time, including Edgar Mitchell, who was wonderful to contribute an essay on sustainability.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which is one of the keys to the future.
So this book is, when did this book come out?
2013 came out last year, last summer, and it's been doing fantastic. It's one of the more level-headed, objective books that does not buy into a particular theory or, you know, promote the gloom and doom apocalypse scenario. And so it's gotten really well-received.
So I've had people on my program before talking about 2012, and they point a lot to changes coming, and some of it has been more of a change in consciousness, people have talked about. How do you feel? What do you think is going to take place, if anything takes place?
You know, know, there's going to be natural disasters. There's going to be political issues and problems, but those happen every year, and the Mayans did not predict any of that. What they predicted was the end of one cycle, one natural cycle, and the beginning of another. They were a people who lived according to the cycles of nature, as did most ancient civilizations. Mm-hmm. They were very much aware of astronomical events. They even predicted with accuracy some of the coming events.
How do you think they did that?
I have no idea. I mean, they didn't have a Hubble telescope. They didn't have computers.
Do you think they had assistance from somebody?
They may have. That's one of the theories, that they had a little help from friends from above. But it's also possible that they found a way to tap into, a sort of field of information that exists, sort of an implicate order to reality, if you want to quote.
Field of information.
Maybe they knew how to do this, and we've forgotten. We've forgotten how to tap into this field of information.
Now, where is this field located?
Well, some people call it the zero-point field. In the Bible, it's referred to as the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Edgar Cayce talks about the Akashic field, the Akashic records. Mm-hmm. It's basically an invisible
field of
connectivity.
The term that I've heard, that there's like this library. There's another term.
Right, library of every event and thought and action and deed that ever occurred.
Okay.
And, scientists now are referring to it as the zero-point field. It's been referred to as quintessence, ether. It's basically a very fundamental field of everything. Every bit of energy or matter or form that's ever lived, past, present, future, it's sort of like a source of all sources. And some people will call it God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a creative force.
Fancy way of getting around it, right?
It is. But, people put their different tags on things.
Right.
But the idea is that this field contains information. I mean, everything comes down to information.
Right.
And that's something we should be able to tap into.
Why can't we tap into that?
I think we forgot how. I think we've lost our intuitive abilities. We've lost our ability to slow down and get quiet and go within. We've lost our ability to be in touch with nature. We have no idea what nature does anymore, because most of us are rarely in it.
Mm.
We've become blinded by technology.
Especially if you live in San Diego, right?
I do, but I don't get out in nature as much as I'd like to. I'm stuck at the computer most of the time.
Stuck in traffic? Ever stuck in traffic? Or?
Yeah, I mean, our humanity and our technology are sort of melding into one, and I think we're losing those connections that our ancient ancestors and even primitive peoples today still have. I mean, if you look at indigenous tribes, they still know how to connect with nature, and they have a cosmology that is very close to quantum physics.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing. They just have different terminology.
And don't you find, now, maybe this is just totally off the subject, but I think this is, since we brought this up, a lot of these cultures all over the world have the same belief, and I'm going to throw out something that's a little left field, but a lot of them believe in Sasquatch, and I just find, that they all, how can they all believe that? Do they all go from continent to continent? By the way, there's this big hairy creature.
Right, it's just got a different name.
My theory has always been that they're connected to Earth, so maybe they're aware of these things.
Exactly, they've probably seen this creature. When we talk about Bigfoot, people automatically assume we're talking about a monkey-like beast that lives out in the woods. But there's a lot of research that points to suggestions that it might be an interdimensional being that we're dealing with.
Interesting.
In fact, that seems to be the trend in a lot of cryptozoology, even in the paranormal, that things may be more interdimensional than something right here in our own physical world that we're dealing with.
Well,
these things are persistent.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
But what we're going to do, I don't know if you have any stories. I'm going to kind of hit you with this, see if you've had any weird things happen to you.
Okay.
Have you had some? So, Marie D. Jones, she's from San Diego, California. She's written several books. We're talking about 2013, The End of Days, or A New Beginning. And also, your website, is it mariedjones.com?
It is.
All right, check it out.
Yeah.
And we'll be back shortly.
Out there. Hi, this is Marie D. Jones. I'm the author of several books, including 2013, End of Days or New Beginning, and my most recent book, The Resonance Key, Exploring the Links Between Vibration, Consciousness, and the Zero Point Grid. You can find out all about my work at my website, www.mariedjones.com.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
Her name is Marie D. Jones from San Diego, California. She has a website, mariedjones.com. She's written at least 7 different books, as I recall. Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah.
And also co-authored other things as well. But I was going to ask you about your own. My whole life, I've had stuff going back to the age of 4 where weird things, and this is what got me to look, you know, weird things started happening. So how about yourself? Can I turn that on you a little bit, Marie? Do you have anything that you want to share?
I haven't had too many experiences, which always shocks people because they think that when you get into this stuff, you've probably seen ghosts and UFOs. And I've had a couple of experiences. One particular that stands out is when I was in junior high school, a very good friend of mine, her family was having poltergeist activity. And I actually got to witness some of the after effects of it. And that was a very harrowing, traumatic situation. Mm. And I was very young at the time. I didn't have a clue how to help them. I actually remember going to the library, because we didn't have the internet back then,
right.
And getting books on exorcism and trying to do one, which was kind of crazy.
Not a good idea, was
it? No. And I've had a couple of incidences where I thought that I felt a presence. I had a cat that I loved for years that passed away, and for about a year afterwards, I would, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would feel something jump up on the bed, and there would be an imprint on
really?
The quilt where the cat always used to sleep.
Really?
Things like that. My main experiences have been with more metaphysical things and meditations, or, you know, just having those moments of complete clarity every now and then, the sort of God moments, I guess you could call them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was very young, I had a very overactive imagination, and I believed in everything, ghosts, Bigfoot,
mm-hmm.
UFOs, from
mm-hmm.
the age of 3 or 4, from what I'm told.
Yeah, me too.
So I think it was just something I was born with.
Really? Or were you born with maybe a more open mind?
Could have been, but you know, at the same time, my dad was a scientist, and he was a very open-minded one, but I grew up with the imaginative spiritual side and also the scientific side. And I think I'm really lucky that I got to walk between both worlds.
And now that you see both worlds, how does that affect you?
They're the same.
They're the same.
Well, okay, one is the objective side and the other is the subjective. But without either side, you don't have a complete understanding of reality.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have both. You have to have personal experiences. They may not be provable in a you know, according to scientific methodology, but they are just as important to your individual perception of reality as anything physical and outside of yourself, anything objective.
There's always going to be an answer, isn't it? We just don't always have the technology or the understanding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're not anywhere near close to having all the answers. I think we had them at one time in our
Really?
History.
How long do you think we've been here? How long do you think we've been here? Not you and I, by the way, I'm talking about. But I mean,
I have no idea. I mean, you know, there's theory after theory. I think we've been here a long time, but I would say that I'm not quite sure we started here.
Would you say that we come back over and over again?
I tend to believe that because it makes more sense than just being put here for one quick brief life and then being snuffed out and,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. That to me, that seems pointless.
Mm-hmm. Me
it
too.
Makes more sense that we are evolving just as the cosmos are evolving, and
exactly.
that each time we get to do something a little bit differently, hopefully.
We get to experience things. To me, it's just a big game we wanted to learn and experience. Wonder what it's like down there.
Yeah.
Wonder what it's like down there. I wonder what it's like in that physical body. Ow, ow,
yeah.
ow, the
Sorry,
pain.
I should have stayed up here.
And so what are we at our basic core?
I think we're consciousness, we're essence. I think most of us at some point in our lives, we leave our body even if we're just daydreaming or, you know,
so you're
lost
saying,
in thought or in the zone or in the flow. And that's when we realize, hey, wait a second, there's a part of me that is not really in my
so
body.
Why are we not aware of this?
because we're too focused on the body, on the physical, on the objective, on technology, on survival, on what's right in front of us. We don't have time in general to go within anymore, and I think that's really sad. Now we've got social networking that is making people feel even more isolated, because now not only do you have friends in your physical life, but you've got friends online that you're spending time with, and that's even less time
right. To
go within. And people are so afraid of being alone.
I think it's fabulous. Maybe at one time I didn't, but now I just love, I live out in the country,
yeah. And
I love being able to just sometimes take a walk outside.
Exactly.
But
we need that balance. We've become so imbalanced.
Too much rush in our world.
It is. Too much information coming at us, too. Our brains are simply not able to process it all anymore. And
Marie,
so we're only picking and choosing the information that we need to get through the day.
Marie, let me ask you this. Have you ever had like an out-of-body experience?
I do all the time. You know, as a writer, you get into this flow. You get into this zone sometimes where you leave your body.
Now, can you describe it as like actually seeing yourself floating up above it, looking down on yourself?
I have not had those, but I have had, this is going to sound strange, and hopefully I can verbalize it. I have a lot, all the time, experiences where I leave my body for maybe a minute, and I feel like I'm in everything. I have this sort of point of view from above of everything, and I can't really explain that.
I've heard people
say that.
Now,
it's not your traditional, oh, I see the silver cord, and I'm floating above, and I see myself down at my desk typing away. Right. It's more of a change in consciousness where I go from, you know, being in my physical body doing the work that I'm doing to a point where I'm pretty much everything. Mm. And it doesn't last a long time. It's a little bit disconcerting because you realize, wow, you know, when you die, possibly you just become a part of everything.
Yeah. You go
and that
back.
Becomes your new awareness.
You become aware of all around you.
Right.
Something that's there to begin with. 2013, what is going to happen in 2013 in your opinion?
Well, I have to be very careful because, you know, everybody has a different opinion. There are a lot of books and movies, and there's a lot of people who claim to be experts who have their own theories. And believe it or not, there's a lot of evidence for each theory. But if we go back to the source of this entire mythology, it's the Mayan calendar, and it's only one of many calendars that the Mayan civilization utilized. This particular calendar ends on a certain date, and yet there's disagreement even as to which date that is. You have to understand the Mayan calendar had to be coordinated and collaborated with the Gregorian calendar, and there's been a lot of mistakes in trying to make that change. So basically, we have a calendar that ends on a particular date. We have a mythology, the Mayan mythology, that talks about just the same thing that every mythology talks about, the rise and fall of civilization, the rise and fall of humanity, cycles that begin and end, and at the end point it's usually more of a dark period, but then it gives way to the light. Now, this is part of every mythology, every creation story of every civilization. Why have we chosen to focus on the Mayan date? Well, because it's coming.
Nah.
Just like Y2K. Everybody was talking about the Bible, you know?
Right.
But the thing is that the Mayans were much more involved in the evolution of consciousness, the evolution of the cosmos, the cycles of nature. They knew that there was a cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. And that to them, their calendar may have ended on December 21st, 2012, just as ours end on December 31st. And we cycle back to January 1st every year. So, do I believe the world is going to end? No, not at all. There's no evidence of that. There's no proof. And the Mayans never, ever said that.
Are there going to be changes?
But there will be. And those changes are happening simply because we are evolving at a faster and faster rate. We are absorbing.
Now, when you say evolving, you're not talking physically.
No, I am talking mentally, our brains are literally having to expand in some way to take in the exponential increase of information that is being thrown at us.
Because you know something, Marie? I haven't grown a tail or the tail I got hasn't disappeared.
I know. We still have that little tail bump thing.
I got to take a break. We'll be right back shortly. Marie D. Jones, we're going to finish this up because we're just starting to get into it.
Sounds good.
MarieDJones.com if you want to check out her website.
Out there.
Well, she certainly does put a different spin on things and very positive. And 2012, who knows what's going to happen if anything happens. Maybe it's just a big hoax. But I think a lot of people, myself included, think there is something going on. And whether or not it culminates in 2012, I guess we'll have to see. Is it more of a conscious thing? Maybe that's all it is. I don't know. Are there going to be more disasters? I kind of think there will, but Marie doesn't know if there's any proof for that. So it's nice to hear. At least I can not worry about it too much. But if you found this site or got this download from somebody, my site once again is outthere.podbean.com, or you can find me through the Braver Institute, www.braverinstitute.com. Coming up in one of my episodes down the road here, somebody actually sent me an email, told me about some of their ghost stories from Lower Michigan, things that they've dealt with their whole life, and they're going to be coming up as a guest pretty soon. Feel free to do the same with me. You can send me an email at tj2@up.net, or you can just leave something in the shout box. And thank you for listening.
Hi, this is David Twitchell, author of The UFO Jesus Connection, and you're listening to Out There.
Hi, my name is TJ Ryan, and my guest is Marie D. Jones from San Diego, California. Do you like living in the city? Is it stressful at all? Or?
I'm in the suburbs. I hate the suburbs.
Do you?
I'd rather live in the country. I'm not a big city girl.
What is the temperature out there right now?
Right now, we're supposed to be about 80 today.
Oh.
But I live in a really beautiful area. I live in Lake San Marcos. It's a resort area. We have our own lake.
Must
right
be
up
nice.
Against the mountains. It's
Must
gorgeous
be nice.
Here.
It's about 40 degrees here. Well, maybe 50 today. We might have a warm spell.
We get down to that during the night, but not during the day usually.
And we're heading towards zero and below zero by the time January rolls around.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? You want to move
I
up here, Marie?
The New York blizzards and the New York winters, but haven't had one of those in a long time.
The greatest thing about here, I think, is the natural beauty, the Great Lakes. You know,
absolutely.
We got those right around us, and then we got Upper Michigan is very sparse, so there's a lot of trees and a lot of lakes and rivers.
So you get the seasonal changes. We don't really have seasonal changes here.
Yeah, that's one thing I think, as much as I hate the cold, I would miss the seasonal changes.
I do too. I miss it. I miss a good thunderstorm, I'm telling you.
Mm. So we were talking about the changes coming in 2013. You think they're going to be more conscious?
I do. I think we're really being pushed to become more than we have been, because we've been living a certain way for how long? You know, maybe hundreds of years our brains have been functioning in a certain way. But in the last 50 years, technology has made such incredible advances. Now, all of a sudden, the human brain has to adapt to all these new ideas, this new information, a new way of looking at the world, a new way of living. And two things have happened. One, we've become much more scattered, much more distracted, and number two, we've become incredibly lazy. I don't think we can continue to go down that path without there being some repercussions. Look at the way we treat the planet, the way we treat each other. Everybody's becoming isolated, even though we've got the world at our fingertips with the internet. So I do see an evolution of consciousness, because I think it's necessary. And
so,
I do think that is what people are feeling when they say, I feel like something's going to happen. There's like this quickening, this acceleration.
Mm-hmm. And once we get through this, and this may take a long time, I'm guessing, right? It's not going to happen overnight.
And the period before it could be very, very nasty, because whenever anyone makes a great change in their life, there's always that resistance right before. You know, we always resist change. We fight change.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we change, we realize, wow.
That was pretty good.
That was the best thing that I ever did.
Why didn't I do that sooner?
Exactly.
What
and
was
I think collectively, that's where we're at now. We're in the resistance stage.
Mm. And so just your viewpoint, because you wrote the book, what are we going to see when we get past all of that?
So I think that that particular day, December 21st, is going to come and go as any other.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some things that people themselves trigger to say, hey, look, we were right. Who knows? There may be a terrorist act. People are strange.
Mm-hmm.
There could be natural disasters that happen in the year 2012, just as there are going to be next year and in 2011. But I think for a lot of people, they may wake up the next day feeling like, okay, I'm ready to think differently. I'm ready. This is what I've been waiting for. This is a motivational point for me to change my life. And I think that would be great if we mm-hmm. felt this sort of collective lifting of humanity. Then again, it might be like Y2K. Nothing will happen. But for people who are out there and who are afraid, there's no reason to be afraid other than what you're already dealing with in the world today.
Here's what I've noticed, Marie, in my lifetime. And for one, I've become more, I have more ability to sense and feel and more psychic ability. And maybe it's just because I believe it, but it just seems like it's more, I can tune into it a lot easier than I ever used to. So something's changed there. It's either me or the environment around me. And I also have noticed there's a lot more, in my opinion, paranormal activity going on and being reported. More and more people are seeing it. So it's almost like, to me, the veil is being lifted.
Right, but I have to remind you that that's cyclical, too. During the 1980s and 90s, everybody was seeing a UFO, and then it died down a little bit. And now everybody's seeing ghosts. A lot of that is media-driven. But what I think what's happening is that the more something is brought to our attention, the more we realize that it's part of our collective reality.
Hmm.
And yes, it is increasing. I do think the veil is being lifted. I think that it's becoming more mainstream. But this stuff has been around for a long time, and I think that should give people some thought that, you know, why have we ignored all of this paranormal stuff for so long? Now we have the media and the internet to help us realize this is a part of daily life.
Mm-hmm.
People see ghosts every day. They experience psychic abilities every day. People see things that they can't explain every day. So, yeah, you're right. It's finally become more acceptable and more mainstream.
And the more that becomes that way, the more the collective, is that what you're saying, the collective?
It's becoming more collectively acceptable.
And then once, is that something to the effect where once it reaches like a critical mass?
Mm-hmm. A tipping point, yeah.
And then it just becomes more, it's awareness at that point.
Right, and I think that's when a lot of what we call paranormal will become normal, and it will become a part of accepted reality. Science will embrace it a little bit more openly and say, okay, yeah.
Will we be seeing ghosts on a regular basis walking down the street?
I don't think so, unless something in the brain or your own individual perception changes.
So you don't think that things are going to change that much?
No. Well, you know, somebody could open up a rift in between this world and the parallel universe. And
I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, that'd make a great science fiction movie. I think because when your perception changes, that's when you start to see things that you didn't normally realize were always right in front of you.
Right. They're always there. And maybe that's what they say when the veil lifts. And I just kind of see like all of these things that are happening to people. I know with me, it was a big wake-up call when those things happened to start looking for some answers and not the typical answers that you get, you know. And when unusual things happen, you look for unusual answers. And maybe you open yourself up to other things too.
Right.
And so all things are possible.
You expand your perception. You broaden your perspective, and your consciousness shifts.
So if I don't change at all in any way whatsoever by 2012, I'm going to be pretty much the same.
I think you'll be miserable because the world is going to be hurtling towards change all around you. I think people are going to be forced to change within the next 3 years.
See, I've heard the theory that 2012, you and I had talked about this before the interview, that there was a magnetic polar shift. Now, you said, your father being a scientist, that there's not a lot of evidence to support that?
Oh, there's so many articles that you can find online that totally discount that theory, that there'll be some kind of magnetic shift, pole reversal. And it is possible that with sunspot activity increasing, that the magnetic shield around the Earth will be weakened at some point. But even with the sunspot cycle that people were predicting was going to peak in 2012 and kill us all, you know, a lot of people have come out and said that it doesn't look like it's going to be anywhere near the intensity that they originally imagined. You know, nature does what it does. The Earth is constantly changing. The cosmos are alive. We do have to expect some of these things.
You think
the
nature...
gloom and doom, you know, the North Pole and the South Pole switching places, no, it's not going to happen.
Do you think nature is a little ticked off at us?
I do.
You think it's going to be shaking itself a little bit, going, these parasites are bugging me?
Yeah, you know, I think the Earth is a living system, and I think at times the Earth knows it needs to cull whatever it is that is ruining it. I'm a little worried about that. I think, if anything, we should be worried about the emergence and reemergence of infectious diseases, global climate change. We're not just talking about warming. We're talking about areas that will be colder, areas that will be more temperate, or areas that will be more tropical. I think we need to talk about those things rather than focus on whether or not, you know, some mysterious asteroid is planning on hitting us in 2012.
Well, I won't know. If it happens, I probably won't know too much.
Yeah, that's true.
What will I be then? I'll just be consciousness floating around. Look at those people. They're all running around.
Exactly. Boy, that was a big rock.
Wish I would have ducked. 2013, the end of days or a new beginning. If you're a little bit worried about 2012 and all the hype, and the last thing I try to do on this show is create fear. There's too many shows out there doing that. Check out Marie D. Jones' book. Maybe it'll give you a different perspective. And her website, once again, Marie?
MarieDJones.com.
And I thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. We'll have to do it again.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.
But you know what's strange is, while we were talking, my power actually went out for a second.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of
technology, I'm telling you.
Is there some kind of connection, you think?
I hope not.
You never know. Spirits might be listening. They're saying, go get them.
I think somebody probably ran into a transformer. That would make more.
You think so? You don't think there's any connection to all these things? You never had weird things happen to you?
You know what? I am a technology, I'm technologically challenged. When I'm around, it all goes down. It breaks down. It doesn't work correctly. Radio shows that I've been on have just shut down.
So is it a case of because you believe that?
It probably is.
And that's why you bring it on the rest of us?
It's the power of thought.